Now, before I left, though, on Monday and Tuesdays, we'll do a Facebook Live thing for staff devotions. And something the Lord was stirring in my heart back then, a couple of weeks ago, was this thing I'm going to talk about this morning. And it really flows into what we were talking about, thriving through your word and your tongue, and that your words, that the power of life and death is in, or the life and death is in the power of your tongue, right? And so what I'm going to talk about today kind of just, it takes it one more step, that we're thriving through our mouth and through our tongue, but how do we thrive through our tongue? And there's something that I want to talk about, a principle that I want to reveal this morning. One of the things I noticed when we were on vacation was my brother-in-law was traveling. They were, for the last couple of months, they've been going where there's warm weather. And there's not a whole lot in the Southwest this year. It was pretty cool down there when we were down there. And they were staying at friends' homes, and he was saying there was something was coming. Everybody, where they went, there were people who were saying, I just need to get a new job. I mean, they had been working in this 20, 30 years, and they're saying, I just need to find another industry. I just need to get out of this. And he said he's never seen so many people complaining about what they were doing or feeling unsettled in what they were doing or making statements like this. It's just so toxic in what I do. It's just so destructive in what I do. It's just so tough in what I do. Can I tell you, that's everywhere, right? That's everywhere. It doesn't mean so if you're here today and you're thinking, no, I'm feeling all those feelings you just said. I was just telling my wife I needed to get a new job, or I need to find a new industry, or I need to do something else. And if you're telling, can I tell you, it doesn't matter. If you leave that place and you go to another place thinking it's going to get better, it's going to be toxic there as well. Just because the world is toxic around us, the culture around us is promoting this attitude that I'm going to talk about today, that has kind of promoted the fruit that we're all living with. And so if I can encourage you, you are light in darkness. Rather than run from it, why not be a spring of life in it? Right? And be someone that speaks life and someone that brings honor in all of this. And if you remember the story of Ezekiel, God says, comes to Ezekiel. And if you read the book of Ezekiel, it's an interesting book because God asked Ezekiel to do a bunch of crazy stuff. Right? I mean, there's one point where he's cooking poo, or he's cooking his beans over his own poo, right? And God wants him to do that. I mean, it's some crazy. So when God would come to Ezekiel, I think Ezekiel had like a twitch, you know? Like God showed up, he's going to ask me to. And God comes to Ezekiel and he says, Ezekiel, I want to take you on a walk. And he takes him on this walk and he comes up to this valley, and the Bible calls it a valley of dry bones. Right? You've all heard the story. And so there's a bunch of bones over it. And the reality is, this isn't a cemetery. This is more like a battlefield. Because the bones aren't buried, they're on the surface. And so it's more than likely a place where all these people had been killed in battle, and their bodies were left. The birds came and ate their flesh, leaving these sun-drenched bones laying on the ground. And God asks Ezekiel, he says, Ezekiel, do you think that these bones can live? And Ezekiel, being like most of us, is probably thinking, are you kidding me? No. But he's with God, so he's got to come up with a better answer than that, right? And so he says to him, this is what he says, only you know, God. Right? Isn't that good? Just remember that answer, because Ezekiel got out of that one. Only you know, God. It's up to you. You know. And God says, Ezekiel, I want you to prophesy to these bones life. Right? Now, most of us would have went in. We go into our workplaces and we go into our lives and we look at all the dry bones and we think, I just need to run to another valley. I need to run to another place. Rather, turn to the dry bones and start speaking life into them. Will there be points where they try to offend you? And yeah, the enemy's going to try to offend you, and the people are going to make offensive statements to you. People are going to attack you. But you have to know that that's just normal for people who are lost. right? But you continue to prophesy to the bones. And what happened was when he did that, the foot bone connected to the ankle bone was connected to the whatever that bone is, and that bone was connected to the thigh bone, right? And they all started coming together, and the head bone was connected to the neck bone. And if you didn't like the neck, give me that other neck. That was a better one, right? Whatever it is, they were all connected. And then pretty soon, you know what it says at the end? They stood up as a great army. Because before they died, they were an army. This is an amazing thing. When you speak to dry bones, they don't become something different. They become what they were created to be, not what they were born to be. They become what they were created to be. And it stood up as an army. And so whatever you're at, I want to encourage you with this. Start speaking life into your workplaces instead of trying to figure out how to get out of your workplace. Okay? Because we're going to thrive. Now, part of that is this point I'm going to talk about this morning. Because our default mechanism, and I want to talk about how honor unlocks blessing into our life. And our default mechanism and culture rejects this idea of honor. Most of us have no idea how to honor because we've never seen it demonstrated for us by our parents or maybe people around us. And we've watched a lot of television growing up. How many were raised on some cartoons, right? And it taught you about life, and it didn't teach you about honor. It taught you about revenge and getting back and giving people what they deserve, and that's how you've been living. And there's two things with honor we need to understand. The first one is that a lot of us will honor people with our words only to get something. Okay? In that case, it's not honor, it's manipulation. That's the world's form of honor, is to manipulate people by using their words to butter someone up to get them to give them what they want. So I'm going to manipulate you to get what I want. Does that make sense? Here's the second thing, issue with honor that we have, and that is that most of us do not honor other people because we're insecure about our own abilities and who we are, because it hasn't been revealed to us, or we haven't yet discovered how amazing we are. That when we look at other people, we don't see how amazing they are, because if you don't honor yourself, if you don't have honor for yourself, you can't ever honor anyone else, right? Honoring people, honored people honor people. Loved people love people, right? We're loved and honored. When we don't show love and honor, it's because we have not yet seen how honored we are. How God loves us and honors us and cares for us. Does that make sense? And so it's out of our insecurity that we see someone succeed in something, and someone comes to us in the field we're in. So if I'm a chiropractor and there's another chiropractor next to me, and someone comes up and says, "Oh, they're amazing. They did a great job." We say, "Yeah, but if only you knew what I knew." Yeah, he's okay. Do you see what I mean? Because I'm not secure in my own ability, I try to almost stir up in other people a distrust of the person that really does well or is succeeding in that industry. Why? Because I'm not going to honor them. Are you with me this morning? Now, I want to tell you, this message this morning is extremely important that we get it into our heart. I believe, I've been praying that the Holy Spirit would put it into our heart and mind, because I want there to be a culture of honor at Bethel's Rock. Because you will never receive a blessing unless you honor from the person that's going to bring the blessing. Does that make sense? So when someone comes up here and you don't honor them when they come to preach, other than me, and you don't honor them, you won't ever receive from them because you don't honor them. If you don't honor Shelby, you got an offense against Shelby, and I'm sure there's lots of people get offended by Shelby. If you're visiting today, that was sarcasm. Right? But if you're offended, you'll never receive from the blessing that Shelby is. Right? Because you're offended by her. I used her because I was afraid if I use me, some of you might be a little close to home. All right? Look at this. Matthew chapter 13. This is about Jesus. So the people in Nazareth were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except where? In his own country, in his own house. Now he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. See, the interesting thing with this is Luke chapter 4, it says that Jesus came and he preached this message that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach good news, to heal the sick, to bind up the broken heart. All of those things were mentioned, right? That's what it says. And then he sits down and he says this, today this has been fulfilled. Well, that was an Old Testament scripture that Jesus was reading, and it was about the Messiah, and he was essentially saying, I'm he. And the people of Nazareth were so offended that they chased him up to a mountain. Look what it says in this next verse in Luke. It says, all the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him off the cliff. But he walked right through it. See, here's the amazing thing is they were so offended by it. Jesus had been doing all of these miracles, signs, and wonders in Capernaum and in Jerusalem and all the surrounding areas. And he walks into Nazareth where his family was and where he had run through the cliffs as a little boy and climbed the rock that's in Nazareth as a little boy because it was on this, Nazareth is on the side of this hill. And it's pretty rocky in some places. I've actually been in this in Nazareth. In the city, it's a pretty wild area, and so he comes into this area, and this man who had been doing all of these miracles comes to this point, and he doesn't do anything except for a few miracles, right? And the Bible says that it was because of their unbelief that was really stirred up from their lack of honor for who he was. They make this statement: "Isn't this Joseph's son?" They saw him only as Joseph's son and nothing more. They also made this statement, there is nothing good that can come from Nazareth. So listen, not only could they not honor Jesus and God, they couldn't honor themselves. They had no honor for who they were, that they had bought into this lie that nothing good could come from them. That isn't that Joseph's son and he's a Nazarene. Nothing good can come from Joseph because we're all from Nazarenes and nothing good comes out of Nazarene. And our legacy from our grandparents on down, we're just little people. We're simple people. Nothing powerful comes from us. God wouldn't come through us because he's God and we're just Nazarenes. So there was no honor for themselves. They neither honored God nor themselves. Does that make sense? And that's what we do a lot of times, and we don't see God doing miracles, signs, and wonders, and we wonder, well, God, why aren't you doing those things? It starts with honor. Honoring who God is and his ability to do it, and then honoring who we are in Christ, that I am the bride of Christ. I'm a child of the living God because of Jesus. I'm a child of the living God. And can I make something else very clear? And we say this loosely, and I don't know why we do this. We all say, we're all children of God. Not technically. Uh-oh. We were created by God, and we come out of God, but we are children of God because we married his son. And it made us a child of God because we married his son, Jesus. So it's all about relationship. It's not about all the other stuff that goes along with it. So what does God want to do? He wants us to establish a spirit of honor. And the reason I say spirit of honor is because it very much is a spirit. When you're a person that is an honoring person, there's a spirit of honor around you that you start honoring people. Before you know it, your kids start honoring people. And before you're mad at your kids because they're not honoring people, you need to stop and check the map. Right? If my kids are dishonoring, maybe I'm dishonoring. You know, if my children, because my children are going to become a lot like me. In fact, it was a funny thing. I was doing something on vacation. My wife says, that was just like your dad. I'm like, well, I am my father's son, right? And if we are the son of the father, then there should be some things that run off. When you came to Christ, the spirit of honor is in you, but the spirit of dishonor from the old man that's been crucified is still trying to get some rule in our life. Isn't that true? So I call it a spirit of honor because it's a lot like the spirit of fear. The Bible says, I did not give you a spirit of fear. right? God didn't give it to you. Any fear, I want to be very clear, any fear comes from the devil. Any fear. Your fear of darkness comes from the devil. Your fear of heights comes from the devil. Any fear comes from Satan. If there is fear in your life, I want to make you aware, and this is an ungodly truth, that we think the fear of heights is God's protective wisdom. You don't need a fear to know I shouldn't get that close to the edge. Right? You need a brain that tells you, if I get that close to the edge, it could blow me over, I'm not gonna go. But there are some people that are crippled by even being at a height in a safe situation, right? That is, and the reason it's a spirit is spirits give birth to babies. So if you have a fear of darkness, it won't just stay fear of darkness. Before you know it, you'll be afraid of darkness and of heights. Before you know, you'll be afraid of, there is a phobia of peanut butter. Because some of the craziest things fear produces in us. Does that make sense? And so you have to crucify the baby at the beginning. You got to say to fear at the very start, fear, you will not rule my life. I am bought with a price, the blood of Jesus. I will not be afraid of heights. I will not be afraid of the dark. I will not suffer this and rob me of the adventure God wants me to go on. Some of you won't go on a mission trip because you're afraid of planes. You're afraid of what might happen if you go on the mission trip. It's robbing you of the adventure that God wants to take you on so that you can see the revelation he wants to give you. Yep. Well, he can give it to me right here. Well, sorry, it was grown in Peru. You need to go to Peru. Right? So the spirit of honor is the same way. It grows the same way. Just like the spirit of fear is that way, the spirit of honor works the exact same way. That if you honor, you produce honoring babies. Before you know it, you honor your spouse. You honor your parents. You honor God. You honor yourself. You honor your spouse. And before you know it, you honor your kids. And then you're honoring the people you work with. Then you're honoring your boss. And then you honor your neighbors. And then you honor your enemies. Then you honor people you have never met. Why? Because it produces that in your life. It reproduces honor. The more you honor, the more it reproduces. The same is true with dishonor. Before you know it, you dishonor your spouse, and before you know it, you're starting to dishonor just anybody. God wants us to have a spirit of honor. And in the world we're living in, comedians and movies and songs, they almost get lifted up for attacking people in places of honor. Right? Now, when Obama was president, I asked, there were some Christians that didn't like him. So I said, so you're telling me that Obama didn't do one good thing while he was president of the United States? Nope. I said, that is just, you're the problem. The problem isn't Obama, the problem is you. Because you cannot receive anything from someone who you don't honor. And so in your mind, you don't honor him at all. You can't receive any of the blessing from him because you don't get him. Now, I could ask the same question as some in this room. Trump. I don't like Trump. Well, has Trump done anything that's good? No. Everything's good. Then you're the problem. Because you can't receive anything good from someone you don't honor. See, it's not necessarily them in the positions, how I honor the position they're in. I honor it because of the position they're in. There's a saying that some of us need to become familiar with. If you can't say anything good, let me say that one more time for those who are hearing impaired. If you can't say anything good, don't say anything at all. See how this fits into there's power in the tongue, of life and death in the tongue, the power of the tongue, right? The reality is honoring, there's a principle here in this whole idea of honoring that we need to be careful of. And I'm not preaching to you as if I got it all together in this area. While I was writing this message, it was so powerful for me. That's why I had to preach it. because the Lord was speaking to me because of my own attitude. We need to be taught to honor. We need to teach our kids, and we need to be taught to honor people's property, to honor position, to honor people of honor, to honor our parents, to honor people in authority. That means even the people when we don't like their actions, we honor them because of the position they have. And there's this spirit that otherwise the spirit of dishonor comes. And you can be at work, and if you don't honor your boss or the person who's been put in authority over you, there's a principle I want you to get. You can have authority over what God wants you to have authority over until you come under the authority God wants you under. Right? So you say, okay, my boss told me that I needed to do something and I don't want to do it. And who does he think he is to tell me what to do? He's your boss. Right? And so you honor him because that's the person who's put in a position over you. But you and your buddy at work, you talk about him behind your back while you're doing what he told you to do. He's such a jerk. I'd love to see him come here. You're not honoring him. Just because you're doing what he said doesn't mean you're honoring him when you're talking behind his back. The attitude you have, even though you're doing what they asked, is demonstrates whether you honor them or not. Now, I'm not promoting abuse. If you're being abused physically, sexually, you need to get out now. You need to talk to someone, and you need to not worry about what might happen if you say something. You need to get out, okay? And you need to talk. Now, I'm not promoting that, but there are situations that we call abuse that are not abuse, right? There are times, I'll tell you what, and I'm not, you know, as a parent, I was raised getting an education at school and an education at home, often by the Board of Education. I learned a lot through the Board of Education, right? My dad had a leather belt that had a perfect crease in it that he used on occasion when we needed to learn a lesson, right? And there was something about it. He would spank us, and it's amazing how we call that abuse today, but it's amazing how the generation of discipline has passed. For a generation of whatever I want to do has taken place. Listen to me. There is a sense of honoring people in authority to receive the blessing from what they want to give you. I don't think you should beat your kids. For heaven's sakes, you shouldn't beat your kids. But I'll tell you what, I did get a spanking that taught me that wasn't something I want to do again. That at least that was, I mean, I'm not the sharpest pencil in the box. But I figured that out, right? And there, somebody say amen. Like, you know, it's amazing how all of a sudden this is all messed up and broken, and yet we are seeing a lack of discipline in our society than we've ever seen. I'm going to stop there. And all the kids being raised right now said, don't listen to them, mom and dad. Don't listen to them. Here's the principle I want you to see. This is the principle that I want you to get. Dishonor shuts down what God puts in people for you. Dishonor shuts down the blessing that God wants to release to you through this person. It shuts it down. So for instance, because the people in Nazareth did not honor Jesus for being the Son of God, because they did not honor Jesus for being nothing more than the son of Joseph, they did not experience what everyone else was experiencing around them. Their dishonor kept them from receiving the blessing of a miracle. And when you look at someone next to you and say, oh, I'm not going to share my issue with them, what are they going to do about it? They're just like me. The blessing God put in them to bless you will be shut down when you don't honor them as a brother and sister in Christ that has the power of life and death in them, the power agreement in them. That there are people that God has brought into your life and you have literally dishonored them, and God has wanted to use them of all people to bless you, but you've dishonored them and you put your hand up and said, stop right there, I don't want what you give me. The spirit of dishonor spirit of honor. You can be under the most anointed person in the world and not get your breakthrough because of a spirit of dishonor, while everyone else around you is getting theirs because of their spirit of honor. Honor the president, honor the teacher, honor the preacher, honor the singer, honor the parent, honor the policeman. How are you talking about policemen? You should see how they're acting. See, the problem is, in a culture of honor, our responsibility isn't to determine how they act and then to try to somehow by our actions determine whether or not we're to legislate law to them. We're to honor people regardless of what they've done, just because if nothing else, they are the breath of God. Every person came from God. I don't need to honor what they're doing, but I do need to honor them. And if we're going to develop a culture of honor, we're going to have to do that. We're going to have to pass on that culture of honor to the next generation. Am I the only one, or have you noticed this? Yeah. That people don't honor. That we get on Facebook and we say things that we would never say face-to-face in Minnesota. In other states, they actually say that stuff face-to-face. But in Minnesota, you feel safe to do it on Facebook, right? You know, and type it, send a letter. It used to be you'd write a letter and send it to them and didn't put your name on it. All right? How many know what I'm talking about, right? And that's not honoring. Before you send anything, you should say, is this honoring the person that I'm sending to? Does it honor them? Am I honoring the people around me? Romans 13:7 says this, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. Honor, send honor. That doesn't mean I'm going to honor someone. I'm not going to honor Hitler the same way that I'm going to honor a president or someone in this room. My honor, the kind of honor I show is, one, I'm going to honor him at the very base that you were created by God, and then I'm going to honor what's positive about you, what's a blessing in you. I'm going to honor those things in you that are great and amazing, and I'm not going to dwell on those flaws that you have. Isn't it amazing? Just think about this. How many love it when people dwell on your faults? Anyone in here love that? Then why do we dwell on everyone else's faults? Because you only reap what you sow. If you want honor, you sow honor, and you'll get it in fuller measure. Honor has to do with your own standard. It has to do with your own standard. There are people in our life that dishonor people, and they'll attempt to pull us into that culture. There are people around you at work, and all they do is talk bad of politicians. All they do is talk bad of the boss. They talk bad of their wife. They attack their wife. They tear down their wife or their husband, and they're tearing down their husband. And you go in there, and you're sitting with them, and you're constantly listening to that, constantly listening to. You listen to one of the news, one of the news things that is more for the, you know, the all the stuff out there that's constantly tearing down people. And what do you think is going to happen to you? The more you take that in, eventually this guy who is tearing down his wife, before you know it, you're going to start saying things to your wife, and you're going to start dishonoring your wife. Here's what you do. You get away. If you're not pouring into their life and speaking into their life, you move away. Here's the other thing you do. When they talk about their wife in a negative way, you say, oh, not my wife. She's amazing. She is so beautiful. You know, she wakes up and she just looks beautiful. You know, her hair goes in every which direction, but that's because the hairspray the night before just kind of nature's way of saying you're just beautiful. You know, and she just loves me like no one else. And you start talking about how amazing. You say, you know what, if you're going to try to give me devil, you're going to try to bring that garbage and put it. No, I'm going to be light. I'm going to speak words of life and light into his darkness right now. And I'm going to tell him, this is how you treat your spouse. This is how you talk about your spouse. You don't rip them down in front of other people. Amen? Because dishonor affects your life. It will cause you to miss promotions. It'll cause you to... Can you imagine? you're at work, and this guy's talking about the boss and how bad he is, right? And you're like, if you agree with him, you're in the same pond swamp he's in, right? But if you sit there and go, you know what? I know, I've seen some of that, but he is amazing in these areas, and he really does a great job with this, and I really appreciate how hard he works with that, and I'm just gonna support him in this and see where it goes. Who do you think is getting the promotion? Who do you think is the one who's going to get the opportunities? Who do you think is going to be the one that gets probably a better raise if there's a choice between the two, right? Be someone who's speaking life into it and honors those people, and you will receive the honors reward. So let me give you two quick stories. One is Moses and his siblings, Miriam and Aaron. Moses has a brother Aaron and a sister Miriam. And their mother must have been amazing because she parented the first prophet, the first high priest, and the first worship leader, right? Those were all of her kids, right? And she parented them, and so they're ruling things. And before they know it, Moses gets married. He marries this Ethiopian lady who's black. They didn't like the color of her skin. And so Miriam, and I mean, they're not white, they're tan. They're more of a tan Middle Eastern color would be what the color Moses, Miriam, and Aaron are. And this Ethiopian lady's black. And so Miriam and Aaron are complaining and they're gossiping and they're stirring up some trouble and they're getting on Twitter, you know, complaining about the fact that Moses, can you believe Moses did this? And she's in, and this is wrong and shouldn't be doing that. And they're complaining all of this stuff and they're making a big stink about all of this. And look what happens. This is Numbers 12 and 13. Look what happens. So they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he been the only one? We've heard from the Lord too. Hello, we're here. Why all the attention going to Moses, right? Has he not spoken through us also? And they're sitting there talking about this. Now, this is the scariest words right here in this next verse right here. And the Lord heard it. Now, when you're gossiping, the last thing you want is the Lord hearing it. But it said the Lord heard it. Now, it's interesting because look at the next verse. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood. What happens is God comes to Moses, and before I read this verse, God comes to Moses, says, Moses, I want you to go and tell Aaron and Miriam that I want to talk to them, but I don't want them coming in the tabernacle. I'm going to sit at the door. Now, God never leaves the inner court of the tabernacle, except for twice, and this was one of them. He said, I don't even want them coming into my house. You bring them to the door, and I'll meet them at the door. When I read this, I just get this image. I remember coming back. My brother and I had just gotten in a fight. And I remember coming home, and my dad, we had one of those screen doors that went, bam, you know, bam, bam, bam. How many had that screen door like that, wood door? And in the summer, we didn't have AC, so they were open all the time in the summer. And my dad saw me from coming from a distance because we were playing basketball, and I had just pounded on my brother a little bit, and he had come home crying and all of that stuff. And don't worry, you know, I was telling him the whole time, you need to get saved. And a funny story, but that is the truth. I'm telling him how he needs Jesus as I'm pounding him. and crazy things, isn't that how it works? And so I'm coming in, and as I'm walking home, I see my dad in the distance. And my dad is whiter than white. He's always been white, right? He's white, but he's bald. And there's only one time when he's mad, his white bald head turns into a red bald head, right? And he was not happy, and I saw him in the distance, and I knew I was in serious trouble. I was thinking, what friend could I go to right now to turn course, get away? But I knew he was there. I just did not want to go to the front of the tomb. Can you imagine what Aaron and Miriam are feeling right now? Like, this isn't Jonathan Bifford. This is God. Elohim. Right? The great I am. The creator of the universe. That guy, he's at the front waiting for you outside of the tabernacle. He ain't even going to let you get to the altar to repent. You're going to meet him outside the tabernacle. Why? Because they had talked about his son, Moses. Now, I want to make you very clear. I want to make it very clear. We are that image of Moses. Look at what he says here. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called to Aaron and Miriam, and they both went forward. Can you, right? And this is what God says. Listen to my words. When there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, reveal myself to them in visions. A regular prophet, it's in visions. I speak to them in dreams, but this is not true of Moses. He is a faithful in all my house. With him I speak face to face, clearly and in no riddles. He sees the form of the Lord, and why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Now, I want to be very clear. You are the bride of Christ. God meets with you face to face. Jesus meets with you face to face, right? There is an intimate. What are you thinking? God is essentially saying to Aaron and Miriam, when you talk about them, who do you think you are to dishonor my bride, to treat them that way, to speak to them that way? Why are you doing that? Pretty amazing, isn't it? So this is what happens. He gets done talking to him and sharing this, and this is what he says next. When the cloud lifted from above the tent, Marion's skin was, say it, which is funny. Remember, she's a tan-colored skin, right? She's complaining because Moses married a black woman. And what does God make her? As white as snow. You got a problem with skin color? I'll give you a different skin color. Right? He gives her skin so white that she becomes white as snow. Aaron turned toward her and saw that she had a defiling skin color. Now, if it were any of us in this room, we would have been sitting there going, get them, God, get them. Right? For what they did to me and what they said to me, you get them, God. That's not what Moses does. You know what Moses does? This is what Moses says. He cried out to the Lord and said, please, God, heal her. God, heal her. Don't let that happen. God, I know you don't like dishonor, but heal her. I know it was wrong. And this is God's response to Moses. The Lord replied to Moses, if her father had spit in her face, would she not have been in disgrace for 7 days? Confine her outside the camp for 7 days. After that, she can be brought back. If a person has a spirit of dishonor, we are to treat them like a leper until they decide I need to start honoring people. Why? Because it's contagious. If you spend time around people who do not honor people and honor other people, eventually you would be a fool to think you won't be affected by that. It's contagious. It's contagious. You have to deal with that in your heart. There are people in your life. I've been praying. The band's going to come in right now. I'm going to have the band come in. There are people in your life that while I'm preaching this message that you're thinking of saying, that is someone who dishonors their parents every time I'm around them. They dishonor their spouse. They dishonor the boss. They dishonor the people around that we work with. They're constantly tearing down people, constantly dishonoring the people who are in authority over us, whether it's policemen or politicians. And I'm going to get to this in a moment because some of you are thinking, no, we can dishonor politicians because they deserve it. Because what they do is so wrong. Dishonoring pastors and spiritual leaders because you've heard of all the sexual scandals that have been going on. You know, I love children. I'd never harm one of your kids. I love children. I want 100 pregnant ladies in here at one time because I love hundreds of babies in this place. I love doing baby dedications. They're just a bundle of potential. And to be part of their life and know what they'll become, it's just amazing to me. But in a neighborhood where there are a number of people from a certain faith in this community that have had spiritual leaders sexually abuse children, and them to look at me as someone who could do that to their kid, you know how terrible that makes me feel? Right? And quite honestly, I've felt it. I've seen it. Now, listen, you can't ever receive. The enemy wants you to look at spiritual leaders in a way where you have an attitude toward them so that you can't receive from them. And then it's shut off. You'll never, if you don't honor me, you will never receive from me. It's not a matter of just me, it's a matter of anyone. It's a principle. Here's what I want to share something else with you, because there's a lot of offended Christians. There's a lot of offended Christians in the world, right? Maybe you're here and you're offended. That is the enemy's ploy to keep you from honoring people, so that you go deeper and deeper and deeper in your depression and discouragement and your hopelessness. One more story, Noah. The story of Noah. Noah's in this ship, rains for 40 days and nights. He's locked up in this boat with a bunch of animals. So Noah's in this ark for 40 days and nights with all these animals. And they get off the boat after a number of days, more than 40 days and nights, hundreds, you know. And they get off the boat, and Noah gets drunk. And he passes out in his tent. And the story goes on that Ham, one of Noah's sons, went into the tent and looked on his nakedness. You can see this in this verse. I'm going to put the verse up there. Ham, father of Canaan, which, by the way, this is there for a reason. I'm not going to talk about it today, but there's a reason for it being there. Saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. So he went in, saw the nakedness of his father, and there's a lot of other meaning in these words. And he saw it, and he went out, and then he told his brothers what he saw. He dishonored his father. Okay? Now, I want to be very clear. When you see any leader, you're going to see a little bit of flesh. Sometimes you're going to see a lot of flesh, because people are not perfect. And you say, I'm not going to honor them because you saw their flesh, you saw their attitude or the way they did something, and then you saw that and you said, I am not going to honor them because of what I saw. You're all going to see a little bit of flesh. Now, don't act all sanctimonious here. We may see a little of your flesh as you try to get out of here this morning. Right? The reality is you sit there and you say, well, why does God use imperfect people? In Corinthians, Paul says God uses simple people to confound the wise. That he's telling the Corinthians he was using imperfect people because none of us in here. It's a funny thing to me. We all want our leaders to be perfect, but if they claim to be perfect, you would all hate them. Right? Because you'd say they're just like me. The reality is we don't honor them because of the flesh we see. We honor them because of what they have that blesses us. We honor them for who they are to us. Now, this, you got to get this. We focus on all the things that we don't like about a person rather than the things we do like about the person. And then we justify that's why I don't honor them. Why don't you honor them? Because I saw this. And I don't like it, and they didn't know I was looking, but I'll never listen to that person. Right? Goes on to the next verse. Doesn't matter how spiritual a person is, go back to that. Doesn't matter how spiritual a person is, somewhere there's some flesh. Somewhere there's going to be some flesh. I'm embarrassed by my flesh. There are things I do, and I'm embarrassed by it. It's reality. I'm human. It's part of this struggle, this human race. Next verse. But Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it on both of their shoulders, and went backwards and covered the nakedness of the father. They basically got on either side, put a blanket over their shoulder, and then backed into the tent where their father was. They had heard the dishonor of Ham and said, we are not going to be a part. We're going to cover up the flesh. Now you're saying, wait a minute, because we're a generation that says we got to expose everybody's weakness. We want to know what every politician has ever done in their life 30 years ago, what they did. We leave no room for redemption. We leave no room for change. If every one of us in here had to live by the standard of our 20s, how many in here would be like miserable? Because we were all stupid in our 20s. Right? Any fellow stupid people in there? Some of you are like, we're in our 20s and you're calling me stupid. One day you're going to look back and say, that was pretty dumb what I did back then. Right? That was pretty dumb. We got the wisest 20-year-olds here today in the world. I'm sweating. No. The reality is it's crazy what we're doing. We are trying to find every reason why we should not honor people rather than look for every reason why we can. While the world tears down, we need to build up. While the world destroys and deconstructs, we need to lift up and construct life. While the world speaks death, we need to speak life and light into people. By honoring them, if you honor people, you will have a platform with them that no one else. And I'm talking people you don't even agree with. People of other faiths, people of other sexual orientations, people of other of ethnic groups. When you honor them in that, you will have a place in their life where you will be blessed from them, and they will bless you. They'll bless you, and you will bless them. Look. Well, I don't have it up here. I was going to put it up here. Here's the blessing. So, Ham and Japheth, this is what they do. And it's interesting because there's a blessing that Noah speaks over his sons. And this is the blessing. He says to Shem, you will be head of the Semitic tribes and you will do amazing things. The blessing of the seed will come through you. You know what that seed was? Jesus. Japheth, you will be over the European tribes. You will spread out and you will do extraordinary things. Ham, the dishonoring son, says, you will be cursed. Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants you shall be to your brothers. I submit to you that the spirit of honor will either elevate you and your children, or dishonor will stop you and your family. See, this is what I don't think we really get. How many parents are in here? Okay. They're watching how you interact with people, how you talk to people. Now, this isn't like my strong suit. I'm not preaching out of strength right now. I'm preaching to myself this morning. I'm almost speechless because of what the Holy Spirit, I've chewed on some referees over the years. I did not honor them. And God is saying, James, you should have honored them. And what would have that looked like? Me not saying anything. Me praying for them because their eyesight was absolutely poor in those moments. And they needed help to see better. They needed my prayers, not my attacks, right? See, but did you notice what I just did? Here's what I just did. I just made something a joke that was very serious, and I just made an excuse why it was okay for me to dishonor them. You see, if we think it's a joke that we dishonor, and you all laughed and it was funny, and I get that, but if we think it's a funny thing and a laughing matter, then the devil's got us. Right? Because God wants us to honor people, and it's a monumental task. Because we've been raised to not. We've been taught to go to school and fight the teacher for our kid, even though our kid was wrong. Nobody wants to be a teacher anymore. Nobody wants to be a referee anymore. Nobody, why? Because no one wants to coach anymore. Why? Because the parents just attack and dishonor. And when we're robbed of the blessing. It's funny, my father-in-law has a Jeep, and so we went out jeeping. We went up in these mountains, and we're climbing these mountains where Jeeps are, it's crazy, because you feel at one point where the Jeep's going to roll over backwards. And I mean, it was aggressive trail, and there were these cult coke ovens that they had built. It's part of history, and they used to allow everybody to drive by them, and you could walk in them and do that, but they stopped that. Why? Because somebody tried to drive their Jeep up on top of one of them, and it went through the roof, right? You lose the blessing because we don't honor the privilege. You see how important honor is? And guess what? They don't have the privilege, and neither do any of us, because now you can't even drive up to see them anymore. You can't even get near them. You can only see them from a distance. Honor, it doesn't just affect you, it affects everyone around you. It affects your kids. They hear how you respond to people who you bark at and you attack. They hear that and they go, that's how I'm to react. They hear how you talk about other ethnic groups. Honor. How many are seeing that there's an important part here that we need to get, right? Right?